My name is Martin. How are you doing?
Fine, you.
I'm good.
We have
I'm
to
not.
thank for a birthday tomorrow.
Yeah, I spent a not inconsiderable amount of time yesterday clearing out all the meetings from the rest of my week so I can just take off. I don't usually take off a lot of time for my birthday, but I don't know, this year it's just feeling like not working sounded better than working. So.
And you know, sometimes you actually need to do it. We have had a bit of a drama here because Elsa and I, we live very close to each other. And Sunday he was feeling not well, blurred vision. And then he had a terrible headache and called me to tell me that he was not feeling well and had this headache. And then he simply talked what is called gibberish, black,
Yeah.
totally
Wow.
black. And I couldn't hear. Are you talking English or Danish or Swedish to me? I simply couldn't understand.
Wow.
At first, I didn't get, and then I walked with the dog. And then he came by and said that he was kind of worried. We went in, then we tried to, okay. Take it a little easy, but then slowly crept to we simply gotta look it up and see. And then he called the emergency room and they said, come in right away.
Yeah.
20 hours, they emergency room that always takes some time. They did test 2 a.m. the morning between Sunday and Monday. They said, we wanna keep you. So then I drove
Yeah.
home. And we had his horses and his cat, and so 3 a.m. I was feeding horses and doing all that barn stuff. But all is good. They did
Awesome.
x-rays, they did everything. But
Yeah.
it was these, they were worried that it was a stroke, and he was
Yeah.
worried too. So
Yeah.
just to say, we have had this as a learning lesson. It's you really need to take your days off. You don't
Yeah.
need to put your work away and not this. And here in Europe, we are, but probably you see it too, Martin, that you have work hours starting 9 a.m. our time, and then now and then meetings to 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And that's a slippery road. And I will definitely say I will try to manage things better and simply say no to some of these late evening
Yeah.
meetings and try to have my work a bit more scoped and not this just because we simply one day we pay a price and but that and Nils it was not he was so lucky and we are so relieved I can say
Yeah, absolutely.
but it was a warning. So
We're only human.
we are humans. We are not AI robots.
Yeah.
We are human, and we have, it's not just we have also family like expectations and all of these other things around us. So we are stressed thin. So I think it's good you do your birthday, and you are simply, yeah.
Yeah.
Olio is also here tomorrow, and I will say a former colleague, and I don't know, maybe you remember Dee Bonner, who was with Index Data. Yeah, she had she had said a sentence that remember bibliographic data is no there's no no one will die because bibliographic metadata is limping or something.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
also
say that it's not rocket science,
it's yeah,
so
exactly true. Yeah.
or I don't know, nuclear power plant or whatever.
No. It's a in it's a super interesting. And, you know, the three of us, all our career, we have worked with library data and systems, and it's fun, but, you know, no one will die because we do a mistake. And we simply, must not, harm ourselves by becoming stressed or ill or something. So at least, and I'm the PO for Nils in many. So I have also simply gotta make the deadlines be more human and not just, and the developers simply cannot too many context shifts. Is simply, it's too hard.
It gets very difficult. Yeah. You should have told Nils, if you needed me to slow down, you could have just asked. You didn't have to.
but he's definitely got me.
All right.
It was 20 hours. Very intense. Very so. But all is fine. All is
okay.
Fine.
Yeah.
He is.
It's funny, you know, because I've shared that, you've told me that before, that, you know, no bibliographic emergencies. And I shared that with my wife, and she says that back to me all the time now. I'll come home and I'm like stressed about something that's happening at work. And she's like, Jeremy, there's no bibliographic emergency.
So we just got to remind ourselves that.
It's just, I mean, you're right. It is really interesting work. And I think, you know, working for libraries is a noble job. I think it's a good thing, you know, it is just a job. And like, do you remember, I don't know if you remember him, William Welling, worked on.
I remember his name. Yes.
He worked for A&M. I've, you know, worked with him for almost, 15 years, but he has recently had some trouble. And ended up in a bad situation at the university and was let go from the university. That got me thinking about, you know, like, you put in all this time, working for somebody, but you never know, what's going to happen at all. It is just a job, and there are things that are way more important than our jobs, But.
We have to be kind with each other also. And So that's the way. Yes, all that said,
all right.
The chat.
Dive in. Now let's do the job.
Looks like we are only the three of us on a set.
Yeah.
We don't come today.
Well, we'll see what we can put together. Y'all were putting some great comments on here, so I think we can get this cleaned up and. From the sounds of things at the PC meeting, we have a little bit of time before we're going to need to turn this over to the PC. So, I think no rush.
So I had one thing, and that's you can say more overall is that we shouldn't put in a ton of bullet points just because we get inspired, but we also should, make it a doable task. So if there's anything where we can say, okay, that's maybe we don't need to do that, then we can skip some of them.
Yeah, to that end, I kind of felt like looking at this, that these were the bullet points we went over last time. So I just kind of moved everything over that we had on the page when we were meeting last time. But looking at these, I feel like all three of these bullet points right here are pretty much saying the same thing. I think they all could be one bullet point, I think. I don't know what y'all think. But it's basically just saying that we want to make it our responsibility, at least to some extent, to ensure that the three councils are engaging in the CDDF process.
I agree.
Maybe not this one. I guess this one is talking about specifically the community development team. which I guess that is unique. But these first two seem like complete copies of each other.
Yeah, I agree.
So which bullet point do we like better as like a starting place for what we're trying to say? The first one or the second one?
And I think the second one, because establishing is more concrete than, you know, just ensure what's that? Is that an announcement or so?
Yeah, also the communication, I think, as you also said, it's more concrete than has a role.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It also honestly feels like overreach a little bit for the PC to be concerning itself with how the TC and the CC are performing their roles. It seems like communication is the most we could probably hope for, since we don't really get to dictate to the other councils what they do.
True.
So
true.
Okay, well, there's some clean up there.
So there is one thing I've been thinking about that's missing, and that was you probably remember at the shoulder meeting here, Harry specifically talked about Koha and to get a better understanding on how they do that. And it was kind of who owns that task to identify.
There was,
yeah.
Oh, sorry to cut you off.
No, you go ahead.
Somebody did, I think it was Jen, is leading some kind of effort to identify how they do things. But I will tell y'all that I spent a little bit of time last week looking over all of Koha's stuff and doing a comparison. And how familiar are you guys with their process?
Not really. No.
It's,
I just watched the presentation on the WolfCon, the Koha presentation. That was very, I don't know, spherical. It was very, you felt like doing yoga or whatever. But I'm not familiar with the process. I also looked a bit on their pages, but I didn't really dive into it.
So I think it's really fascinating, the differences. Do y'all mind if I go into it a little bit?
Please do. Yeah, sounds.
Okay, so basically they have, and I'm not going to remember the role specifically, but they have, I think, three major leadership roles. Release manager, documentation lead, and a third one. I think, QA lead. Yeah, okay. So release management, QA, and documentation. And they appoint three individuals to be in that role, those three roles, for a release cycle. So for one release of their product, they pick, you know, as a community, they pick three people to kind of be in that role and see the product through one release in that role.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, they give a lot of unilateral authority and power to those three individuals to kind of, mm-hmm. you know, coordinate things and get things moving. But the influence of those three individuals only lasts as long as that one release. And then the community has an opportunity to kind of select another set of people.
Is that these people elected, or is they kind of donated by libraries, and then it sounds like full-time work when you have that? And how long is a release cycle?
Yeah, it looked like this was I don't actually know for sure. Something about what I was reading made me feel like the release cycle was about 6 to 8 months or something like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know whether this is full-time work or not. I do know that these people are appointed through consensus mechanisms within the community, but it's, they don't have a lot of, let me just say, Folio's governance is a lot more formalized than Koha. It's like, their documentation is very about how they handle this stuff is very dispersed. They handle a lot of things in like newsletters and things like that. They don't have a lot of formal mechanisms of governance. It's much more anarchistic in their approach, I feel like.
Years ago, before Folio turned more into, when it was still just reports, I looked very much into the Cohort documentation. And that was, at least at that time, so that was in 2016, it was very homogeneous. It was, they had a special way to do it, and they all documentation was written up the same way. And in a way, it's several years since I looked at it, but I think ours documentation is not as strong as their documentation.
Well, yeah, I think there are some advantages to their approach. One being that I think they give a lot more power to single individuals for a given period of time, which, you know, can lead to certain efficiencies. I think that some of the shortcomings of their approach are, I mean, if I could just speak candidly, and I don't know, I'd be interested in knowing if my intuitions about this are the case, but their approach seems much more vulnerable to influence, you know, as far as like somebody kind of coming in and then just unilaterally taking the project in a certain direction because they're sitting in the chair and you know, in this release, we're going to, you know, rewrite this whole thing, or I don't know, make Eureka or something like that. It seems like I don't see a lot of safeguards from that sort of activity. Now, you might just get one shot at it, I suppose. If you do that and, you know, you take it in a direction that the community doesn't like, you're unlikely to be, you know, put in that position again. So I suppose there's something to that. But then also, it seems like it would be difficult to do long-term planning with that model. It is very kind of like release by release approach. So, you know, I do wonder at, you know, but they've been around for a while. So
yeah,
I don't know.
You gotta respect that.
Yeah.
And do you, we know if Koha has been subject for, you know, what is it called? A fork, that someone has forked it.
They had some dispute with the, like, maybe a bit like, is it possible, Kuali, where the company that, initially developed Koha, or was one of the main developers, they wanted to change the licensing, or I don't remember that law. I think you can look it up in the English Wikipedia. There's a page about Koha and this, I don't know, it's called some, I don't know what, incident or so. And then they somehow managed to resist. And there, I'm not sure if there was a successful spork or if it was, like with Qualia, not that successful. But and they had something like that, and they reorganized after that. They reorganized their their assets. I mean, where they put documentation and so on, I think, or where they host releases, whatever. I don't remember exactly, but you can, there is information about that.
Saying, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, they had some
issues.
Yeah. But I think what differs between Koha and Folio is that Koha seems to have a lot of individual contributors. Small scale contributors. What is then Folio is lacking that. And so I think these Yeah, long tail of contributors maybe is also some kind of how do you say? I mean, it's preventing from what you said, Jeremy, that someone is trying to push the project in some direction. That's
yeah,
only
I also,
me guessing, but that's my experience from what I read and hear about projects. If you have a lot of small contributors, it's, I mean, the consensus making is maybe more difficult, but it's also more robust against someone steering the project in some directions.
And I think that was what we wanted Folio also to be. And we, you know, it's not too late that we can realize it. And the CDD effort is one of those attempts. And I'd say we have the Leipzig development team, we have a TAMU development team, we have development teams, and we have all the index data development teams as well, who is doing actual work. But we, over time, we need to make sure that we can work in the code. And so all of this ownership, we need to have loosened up a bit, and ownership, how to review work, and so otherwise we will end up with only EBSCO development teams who can work in the code.
Yeah, it's a, it's an, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I don't, you know, I looked into this, you know, for, you know, a couple of days. I spent a few hours like kind of digging around, but I don't actually know. I would want to actually sit down and talk with somebody like, you know, the COHA release manager, you know, who, because I don't know what authorities these positions have. Like, what are their specific responsibilities? How much influence do, you know, do they actually have? I mean, it, it'd be interesting. And I'm open to, like when we talk about forming a community development team, it would be interesting to maybe, I'm not prepared to like ditch. I really do like Folio's governance model. I think that it does a pretty good job of giving organizations representation and engaging membership. I think it could be better, but I don't necessarily want to throw out the governance model, but it might be a cool idea to kind of take COA's approach to development and kind of take their development model and see if we can find some place for that and in what we're doing here. Like maybe for the community development team, if it was, you know, kind of built per release or something like that. So, you know, here's the, you know, if we had a community release management appointee for a release cycle, you know, that could be an interesting thing.
Yeah. So I think maybe it is in our scope to, you know, give a half page description of how have, you know, the other biggest open source development project. So here, COHA is the one where it's relevant to compare us with. And they are the old and mature project compared to us, but we are also getting mature, and we are but is there some good things we could learn from? And I'd say it could be, so when people are sitting in a specific position for years after years after years, it's both that they kind of get so into the role, and but they are also, it can be refreshing to maybe have some rotation. And maybe Oleksiy Petrenko would also like a year off doing something else, and then he can come back again. When he starts the release meetings, he is sighing, and he is, you know, oh. So
yeah.
I think he has also days where he is tired.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, he does a good job. I mean, it's a big job, and you know, and he's been doing it successfully over and over and over again. And also, I think just based on the politics of the circumstances, he doesn't always get a lot of love, you know, for what he's doing. So I'm sure that catches up with him a little bit. But
yeah.
Go ahead.
Maybe just one thing that I really want to say is I think Koha and also, for example, Wufan, they are much more person-based or human-based than Folio. In Folio, I think it's all about institutions or organizations. I mean, it's about maybe it's vendors, it's hosting providers, it's libraries and the like. It's much on a much lesser scale. It's about the persons themselves on the governance and on the larger level, I think.
Yeah.
But in WooFind, and I also think in Koha's, at least from the impressions I got, it's more about individual persons that drive and that have say and that engage. It's not that much on about maybe institutions. Of course, also about institutions or organizations, because the people are paid by them. But I at least more often hear that in the Folio context, it's about this organization or that organization that wants something instead of this or that individual that does or wants something.
It's a really good observation.
So I think there's this difference. I think it's, you know, I got the impression from Koha and also from Wufan that it's more, they may have evolved from some kind of personal, fun projects. I mean, not really fun, but some personal projects that began on a small scale, and Folio is just not like that. Folio began on a much, much larger scale, I think, right from the beginning. There were, from the start, were a lot of institutions, big institutions that said, okay, let's do that. Not one developer that says, oh, I can do something from my institution to get the problem done.
That's exactly right. I mean, day one, you know, you had index data with EBSCO kind of in the background, and then you had all of the schools, so Duke and Chicago and Cornell and TAMU and they all, the first thing that they did was they hired developers to work on the project. So the people who were being brought onto the project weren't being brought onto it because they were like, oh, this is a neat thing I want to work on. They were just getting a job all of a sudden. And so it was a very institutional approach, I think. Can y'all remind me, or Charlotte, you might know, I want to make sure I'm thinking about this correctly. So you were saying, Martin, that Kuale was a fork of Koha? Is that saying?
No. I at least from what I know is that Kuale had the problem that the company that developed it, they changed the license, I think, and so or made it for profit. I'm not into that so much, but
because it was
what I heard or read about. So
Kuale Ole here, it was all the the institution you mentioned with Chicago and Lehigh and being there was institution in UK as well. So, and they did all the requirements and they finished up all the requirements, and then they hired the company to do the work And the work then went overseas to India somewhere, because
I remember this.
Quali Finance something, it did all the work, and then when it came back, then it was like you have designed an ILS and you got back a shipping system or something.
Yeah.
It was simply not matching, and then it was only Chicago who said, yeah, okay, we will start using it. So they kind of did the role as Chalmers did on Folio, and then they were promised at least 1 year where all changes or things they had the system to be tweaked to in order to do their work, it was done for them. But
And that's the same Ole that ended up being the Ole that started Folio.
Yes.
And then OLF became a thing. Yeah.
And you gotta respect Chicago for daring,
being brave,
doing it one more time. I have
it's
always
so
the highest respect for Christian Martin, Christy Thomas, and David Butterup, and all of those sharp people doing it one more time.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was but that the Quali should have been open source and then went closed source or something like that.
Mm.
Okay. And I think it's it was the library wanted open source. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was told here when I began at the library, that when I began with Folio, that it's more or less a second try, so to speak, to make it better quality.
I know we had a big meeting, before I ever heard the word Folio, where we pulled up Quali Ole, and we did a whole code review of it, and we were being told, this is it, this is the thing. And, and so we all started familiarizing ourselves with it. And then, a few months later, we were told, never mind. it's not what we thought it was. And so we're like, okay, I guess we're staying on Voyager. And then we started hearing about Folio, and we kind of made that transition. But yeah, it was close. We were almost, leaning towards the Quali Ole thing for a little bit.
But you can say the whole community and the way the libraries were involved in doing the requirements work, that is kind of transitioned from how libraries wanted to be involved in the requirements work into Folio. So that was good.
So like the kind of the spirit that got that started came over into Folio.
Yes.
That's neat. All right. So let's see, what do we think about? Establish and maintain communication between CDDF participants within PC, CC, and TC. Oh, I do want to say, to that goal, I have talked to the community council and the technical council about this idea of meeting with their some groups, like once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem open to it. The CC wants, and their next meeting, I think, to kind of formalize their participation with the CDDF. And so after they kind of figure out exactly what they're doing, then we can try to set up a meeting. But I did start that conversation, at least.
So that bullet point seems like we are almost working on it. So that's not complicated.
This one says, establish and refine the PC's role in the CDDF as a transparent participatory mechanism for prioritizing community-funded development. I think we could probably say establish and refine the PC's role in the CDDF. We probably could just say that. What do y'all think? If Charlotte, we're looking at getting rid of filler words.
Yeah, a mechanism I was getting ticks around. So yeah, it's just I'm so down to earth, and I really want to use real word. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that gets to the point, and I have to read half as much, so I like
yes.
it.
Yeah.
Implement a minimally viable development initiative proposal process. So, I'd like this, and I know we have to do it, but here's my fear, is that I really want to see the full DIP process rolled out, and I'm worried that if we limit ourselves to just the MVP, minimally viable version of it, that's as far as we'll ever go. So I don't know. I'm kind of
I see it, and I think the same bullet point could be describe describe the full implementation of CDDF. And then we have implement a minimal viable.
How about in the purpose and objectives section to say define or describe or refine the development initiative proposal process, and then down in the scope section we just copy that down there as being part of our
Yes.
Of our work.
Yeah, I like
And we
that.
have bits and pieces for the DIP process already in your previous document. So again, it shouldn't be super lengthy. We have done, we are not starting from scratch at all.
That's right. Do we want to, I mean, minimally viable, I guess we get to talk about what that means. Like, so for instance, is the dashboard piece part of the minimally viable? I know it's something that we would like to, I know Caitlin would like to see the dashboard in place. So, but we can talk about that. I guess since we get to define what minimally viable means, we'll leave that.
Exactly. Yes, yes.
The second bullet point in scope is the same as above. So it's just someone just copy pasted it.
So here's what I was thinking. So this says gather
Can
community
I?
feed.
Okay.
Yes, please.
So now we put implement a minimal viable at the end bullet, but it should probably be the second because the next one is overseeing the implementation of the DIP process. And that's a little squeaky compared to that we only implement the minimal.
Including the creation. Okay, so I'm gonna, sorry, I need to do some surgery here. Right, overseeing the implementation of the development initiative proposal, including the creation of a minimally viable DIP process. Does that work?
Works fine.
Okay. I don't like this one so much. I don't understand it. Clarifying and recommending the process for endorsing new functionality within the framework.
Yeah, I
Don't mind
also
if I.
wondered if, I mean, we have this process in the PC about endorsing new functionality. So I think it's not meant to be that process. I guess it's about new functionality that is addressed in DIPs.
One of the things I wanted to say is I like this gather community feedback as the CDDF is being implemented to ensure the process is meeting community needs. I was thinking, in general, I like that, but I do think that explicitly stating that we might look for inspiration in other communities, you know, development processes would be a good idea. Should we do that as a separate bullet point, or should we try to combine that into this bullet point, or should we not do it at all?
I think this bullet point could be just moved down in the scope section. It's just in scope or in of the working group. It doesn't mean that we really have to do it, but we can do it if we think we need to.
Okay.
So I think so gather feedback, so we constantly make sure that we are in line with what the community needs and expect. That is all fine, but it is, we need to avoid that, you know, that it is constantly being discussed. Do we need this? Are we to do it? Etc. etc. That's a different.
Yeah.
But I have been in other folio groups where, you know, constantly the progress were derailed by being questioned. Is it relevant? Is we to do this? And etc. So we need to, do you follow what I mean? We need to steer around that risk.
The question, how is this working for you, is different than, do you think we should be doing this?
Yeah.
And we want to ask the first question. Exactly. We don't want to keep on asking the second question.
No. Then it's forever. And
yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm feeling a lot better about these things. And I'm sure other folks are going to have feedback. This was a good question. So the phases in the CDDF are the phased rollout that's being proposed, where it's saying, let's start with a pilot program, and then let's identify some like core components of the CDDF that we can roll, you know, put in place, and then let's do a complete rollout. We're kind of recommending a three-phase approach. But I don't know. I don't think that that's actually what's being talked about here. So defining and refining the roles of the PC, then the CDDF.
That's what is in the purpose and objectives section. I mean, it's almost the same wording. Establish and define the PC's role. I mean,
do that.
I mean, the creation management of the dashboard can also be in the last bullet point about find the process. No.
Another thing that we could do is we could leave it like that,
yeah,
and just add the bullet points like that as in scope, which
makes more sense in my perspective.
Which means that this is redundant right here. You just do that for the dip one. Okay. What do we? That was a lot of changes really fast. But what do we think about that?
So CRPs are not explained here.
That's yeah.
So what is? Then we can maybe I don't know, do a little terminology about what is community resource points, where we explain it, and that we had in one of your previous documents.
Yeah, we have, oh man, Zoom is getting in my way here.
But that's not part of the charter, isn't it?
Yeah. Let's see, where do we introduce the idea, community resource points? Yeah, here we go.
Yes.
Yeah, so they get defined pretty, like, first page, they get defined in this document.
Yeah.
So, okay, cool. Explore other open source community development approaches for possible integration with the CDDF.
And gather here community feedback. We could be exact and say Koha. So we are not, to explore history of Kuali or Lei and so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm liking this. I'd be eager to see what the other members think of what we have here. I do think the out of scope stuff maybe. Oh, actually, what comments do we have here? More spoke. All right. So yeah, this idea of components.
You can delete my comment. Yeah. If you like it, I am fine. And okay. Yeah, I'm fine. You can delete all. Mark has resolved all my comments.
These are 12. All right. Direct project manager of individual. I don't know if this is. I mean, it is true that we don't want to perform project management for development. Like, that's not what we're here to do. I don't remember where this came from.
Mm-mm.
Do we need to say that?
No. No, actually, we can skip it because we are not to touch, Leipzig's development, index data's development for specific customers.
We always talked about having some pilot project where we can test the DIP process.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I saw that we are not to be the project management for that. I mean, we may be some kind of, I mean.
Could it be something with shadowing? So shadowing an existing project to learn from or what?
Yeah, maybe it's more like shadowing.
Let's see, also, is this...
I mean, this could be something that we could put into the in-scope section, saying shadowing a pilot DIP process or something like that.
I mean, we kind of, I kind of see, honestly, I kind of see this minimally viable DIP process right here as a pilot, kind of.
Okay, so it's not just a concept, but it's more or less a prototype that you see. I mean, having one specific project, small project. Okay.
And I think it's only, reasonable not to spin up and have this costly investment by having community developers doing the work, but simply learn from existing development teams.
Yeah. So what do y'all think about this? So we explicitly say that we are interested in seeing a pilot of the minimally viable dip process take place. That is something that we want to do, but we explicitly say that we are not doing project management for the development that takes place as part of that pilot.
So it
Does it work or?
could be more like shadowing a PO and the work in a development team to learn from to get a
Okay.
sense of best practice. I
Okay.
We also have to distinguish between that, or I have to say it. I think it's important to say that in general, we want to project management for the digits. But on the long term, we want to have this community development team, and there we will have to do, or someone that is, someone will be delegated the project management work on behalf of this group, the council, whatever.
So at least in this document, I believe it's in this document where we. Oh, this is such a long document. Okay. Community Development Manager. This is the position that it recommends is hired for the community development team. This would be the person that did project management for all of this stuff. That's the idea, is that you have a dedicated funded position to kind of take the reins up for that. So because I agree that I just don't think it's I think it's a fool's errand to get a council to do project management. That never works at all,
But I mean that's what I wanted to say. We won't do any project management unless we have this very person installed.
That better?
Yeah, I mean the previous version was also okay. I just wanted to mention that we someone we will eventually there hopefully will be this position. How was it called? The community development manager. And then it's their obligation to do project management work, and so it. And because it works on behalf of the council, it's indirectly it's the council that does the project management. But as long as this position doesn't exist, there is no project management by the council. That's what I wanted to say.
Could it be
Okay.
a person, so a little like that the COHA has these three people appointed? So then
Yeah.
it could be one from the PC group who for this release is the project manager.
Yeah, that's a really interesting idea, and that's the sort of I think it would be really cool if we made these sorts of changes to the CDDF proposal, and just said, maybe like this, and this is inspired by Koha's, development approach. I think people would like seeing that we were being flexible enough to take new ideas in and try them out. Okay, I have another meeting coming up that it looks like people are already hopping into. There's other, I mean, let's just keep on adding comments and stuff to this document. I think we've made some good progress, though.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think I can add some things to the other bullets because I think our charter, it's fine, it's looking fine. So I can add something about meeting frequency and just like we did yesterday for in the other group with Autumn. So
yeah,
that simply then we can be done. I think it
awesome.
And I think this group is having such a strong document with the document you wrote just before WolfCon. So again, I think we are not being. This is doable. That's. I'm getting nervous tick if things are getting, you know, into something we will not be able to do. But I don't think. I think this is doable.
Yeah,
looks good.
So just take it one piece at a time. Thank y'all so much for engaging with these ideas. It's great working with y'all.
Yeah. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Talk to you.